Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We want to continue to move forward in the book of James, chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. And we're going to pick up in verse 13. This section here talks about boasting about tomorrow and how faith produces a dependence on God. So it's very interesting as we've been going through James, how he continues. I keep saying this, and every time I say it, I feel like I'm repeating it, but it just bears repeating. James is always looking to help his people do what the Lord told them to do, to follow Torah, to follow the things that they know, to not get off. So James chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we shall go up to such and such a town, and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." So it's interesting. We find as we go through the whole book, all these instances where James, he's telling his people, remember your first love. Remember what the Lord told you to do. And if you just read through it, you won't know any specific areas where he's referring to. But there's always something specific that you can reference that he's referring to. He's always referring to how quickly, or responding to how quickly they forget the things that they're told to do, and how quickly we can go back into old ways or ways of the flesh. So this verse shows us things really come down to God's plan on one hand and man's plan on the other hand. And they're naturally in a tug of war with each other, or at least from man's side. God's never pulling or pushing. It's always man trying to pull or push, get out of doing something the Lord told them to do, or get into something that they want to do. And it just brought up this idea that I wanted to remind us all of, that we are all supernatural beings, that we live in a natural body. And we're not our bodies. We're not our flesh. We're not our desires. Our bodies just give us the ability to live on earth. And if and when our bodies die, then our ability to live on earth is done, and we move on into the supernatural, only into the presence of God. From there, we end up in either heaven or hell. Heaven for all of us who are believers, or hell for those who have rejected the free gift of salvation through Messiah Yeshua. So our bodies are like an astronaut's suit or his ship in space. Without it, we'd not be able to live in space, or they would not be able to live in space. So in light of us being supernatural beings who live in a natural body, we need to intentionally focus and follow God's plan to be successful in his plans. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or we will unintentionally go back into our own plans. So back to the text here. What past sin is he referring to? So I searched through scriptures and I found one that sounds eerily similar. So save your place there in the book of James, and I want you to turn me to the book of Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 11, verse 1. Well, this is a story of the Tower of Babel, Babel. So it says here, now the entire earth had the same language with the same vocabulary. Verse 2 says, when they traveled eastward, they found a valley plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let's make bricks and bake them until they're hard. So they used bricks for stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower whose top reaches into heaven. So let's make a name for ourselves, or else we will be scattered over the face of the whole land. So we see them here. They've traveled to a city, and they have started to formulate their own plan, their own way, and they even say they want to make a name for themselves, or we want to make a name for ourselves, to make a name for themselves by their own efforts outside of the Lord, for their own evil desires to be met, again, outside of Adonai. And it just struck me reading through this, one of the first things that I saw that was error is when you get to verse 3, they have to work to make their own bricks. apparently the land of Shinar has no quantity of building materials, at least stones or rocks. So later we see when Adonai brings his people into the promised land, it is a land full of rocks, full of stones, full of building material scattered everywhere by Adonai, which later is used as building material to build their own personal homes and to build the temple. Later, after this account in Genesis, Scripture tells us and history shows us the making of bricks is part of the punishment for sin. It's part of the punishment for being in captivity, for being captivated by something other than the Lord, for serving someone or something other than the Lord. Making of bricks is a punishment for sin and a work that's given to slaves in a pagan land. When the Lord tells you to do something, he'll provide whatever it takes to accomplish it without you having to do what is considered slave labor. Hallelujah. Think about that for a minute. So let's continue in James 4:14. It says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. What is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You're like steam coming from the tea kettle. 4:15 says, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." So we see the people formulate their own plan, and they begin to run with it, all outside of Adonai's instruction, and even more importantly, outside of his blessing. Did they even ask Adonai what he wanted? Doesn't sound like it. There's no indication of it. And just like in the Torah portion, Adonai, he doesn't like these things. And it will often incur discipline to his people or judgment on those who don't belong to him. So Jan Jakov, he wanted to see his people move forward in blessing and move forward in the will of Adonai. So as we continue in Genesis, let's switch back there again, 11:5. It says, "Then Adonai came to see the city and the tower that the sons of man had built. Adonai said, 'Look, the people are one, and all of them have the same language. So this is what they have begun to do. And because of this, now nothing they plan to do will be impossible.'" Genesis 11:7 says, "Come, let us go down to confuse their language there so that they would not understand each other's language." Very interesting. We've been talking about Isaiah chapter 2 as a congregation of this idea of making Aliyah, of going up. "Come, let us go up to the mountain of God, for he'll show us his ways." But instead, you see here, the Lord says, "Come," talking to the Father, talking to the Holy Spirit and the Son and Yeshua, said, "Let us go down there and deal with them." All the while, we're supposed to be going up to learn of his ways, not for him to come down and have to deal with us. 11:9 says, "This is why it is named Babel or Bavel, because Adonai confused the languages of the entire world there. And from there, Adonai scattered them over the face of the entire world, entire earth." This is the state that we're living in right now. This is the same thing you see on TV when you're watching all the technology, and ooh, we know so much, and everyone knows so much, and everyone is trying to get to God. Everyone is trying to attain this status of, "Look, we created this. We did this. We get all the credit. It has nothing to do with God." On TV, I saw a news anchor, and he basically said that one particular politician said God had nothing to do with basically blessing the people of a particular city during this plague. that person's brother said, we don't need God in America. Is that basically what he said? We don't need God in America. You can't make this kind of stuff up. And a lot of people just suck that stuff up and they just go along with it and they don't realize, no, you're partaking in the same sin. So God has to come down. He has to get the people together because he made people in such a way as that they can continue to achieve, and get places with the knowledge of good and evil that he never meant for them to get to because of original sin. You go back to Adam and Eve. That's why he doesn't tell us everything. We don't know everything. Faith, we're designed not to know everything. We're designed to have faith, to believe and trust him to do what? To take the next step that he told us to take, regardless of what it is. But we can always look back and see the steps that we've taken, how far he's brought us. Hallelujah. And how many of you guys want to go back to where you were? No. You know, it's interesting talking to people about sin. And, you know, we have what they call in Jewish culture, I guess you would say, this idea of an evil inclination, that we're inclined to sin. Back in the day when I had hair, and you're right, I do have, I got some right here. But you know, I go to bed at night and a strange thing would happen. I'd wake up the next morning and guess what happened? I need to comb my hair again. During the day, you know, you do something, you put something on or you take something off, and guess what? You need to comb your hair again. Or if you don't need to comb it, oftentimes it's because you've used something to restrain it in some type of way, right? A hat or some pins, or I had a ponytail back, way back when. The hair right here, believe it or not, went all the way down to right here to my Adam's apple. And I had a long ponytail. Oh, a lifetime ago. A lifetime and a half ago. But it didn't just automatically get combed or stay combed. Inside of us, there is an evil inclination in your flesh that always desires to do like this and to get off. And you have to yank it in and steer it in and keep it and put it in check, or it'll go where it wants to go. You know, I took home, and I shouldn't have, but I did. I took home part of an apple pie last week and some banana pudding or whatever. I'm not sure what exactly you call it. But I took home more than I should have, and I felt compelled to finish it. So, you know, I don't like wasting food, and I took it in good faith. So I still have a little left, and it's actually still good, but it's almost gone. But, you know, there comes a time you just have to put yourself in check and say, I can't do that. So this week, I'm not going to take as much dessert home. So that when it's not there, I'm not tempted to eat what's not there. It's not there. And that's just a simple example of how we need to stay. You know, the Lord made Shabbat every week so we can come and do like this. Somebody do like this. This week, you got to shift yourself back. Yeah. Sometimes you jerk yourself back, but you got to keep on just doing that. So again, in Genesis 11:9, God had to come down and confuse their languages intentionally. That's where we're at. We're waiting for the day when Yeshua comes back, where guess what? We won't be confused anymore. We can all come together. And that's why you see in Matthew 24, you see all the upheaval and all the stuff going on now where it says races shall fight against races and kingdom against kingdom and country against country and this one against that one and that one against this one. Why? Part of that is because he designed people to be different. He designed us so that we wouldn't, after the fall, we could only come together one way. We could only come together with the center being Yeshua and nothing else, because everything else brings division. So the body of Messiah, in particular, the Messianic movement, what I've seen, these are my personal observations, the hallmark has been a mix of races, a mix of cultures, a mix of socioeconomic status. Whereas in the church, God bless them, you tend to see more, there's a this church, there's a this ethnic group, that ethnic group, this separation, even within believers. And I praise the Lord for the body of Messiah. I sent the picture we took to someone and they said, wow, you've got a very diverse group. That's how it's supposed to be. Go out to the pasture, you see sheep. You see black sheep and spotted sheep and white sheep and brown sheep and old sheep and young sheep. Sheep that have just been turned into sheep kebabs. No, I'm kidding. But you see them all. I love that part, the sheep kebab part. That sounds good to me. Yeah. Right. What you say, how sad? Oh, well. lamb kebab. Shish kebab, there we go. But praise the Lord, we're all different. And we're supposed to be different. You know, a husband and wife, we're supposed to be different and opposites. The Bible says that when you get married, the two shall become one flesh. So then my question for you is, if two people get married and they're both exactly alike and they become one, then really one's not necessary. Because you're just a duplicate. You're a clone. You're not a unique person coming together, right? So I just want to encourage us all with this. We're different. We're unique. That's how it's supposed to be. Let's love each other's uniqueness and not focus on differences. Because that's what the devil comes to seek, divide, and destroy. But we've come to be together. You know, this congregation, I talked to somebody else last week, actually a couple people, and I want to send them what we taught on last week. I'm going to put it on the website. Because without those things happening and being part of our community, it won't work. And those things have to be big in us. Amen? So again, I want to pick up where we left off again. I'm repeating, but just to get some momentum. So this is why Genesis 11:9, this is why it is named Babel, because Adonai confused the languages of the entire world there. And from there, Adonai scattered them over the face of the entire world. So I ask you, do you want to do something that is so egregious to the Father himself that he has to call himself, he has to come down along with the Son and the Spirit from heaven to deal with you? Anybody, any hands? I don't see any hands going up. Do you want to get off in the flesh so bad that it makes headlines in heaven? No. It's like I can hear the news report in heaven. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit left their heavenly habitation and had to go down to earth and deal with a bunch of rebellious people. Film at 11. No, of course not. We want to be in the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to be victorious in everything we do, everything we set our hands to. Amen? Amen. And in closing, I want to give you a simple tool or a simple way of success in the Lord. And I want to read it together with you guys in James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, therefore, whoever knows the right thing to do, and again, this is from the Tree of Life version, and does not do it, for him it is sin. So let us do what we've been trained to do by Adonai, and let us do what is right. Let us ask the Lord to be involved in our plans. Let's look at the Lord for guidance in everything, as a congregation, as individuals, within our marriages, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our parents, our siblings, all of these things. You know, it's nice to come and just sit down and you're at peace, it's Shabbat and wonderful, and then Sunday morning rolls around and man, all these things going on. Then Monday, for those of you who work a 9-to-5 type thing, the alarm clock rings and man, I gotta start my week all over again. I can't wait to get back to Shabbat. I can't wait to get back in service. Hallelujah. So the opposite of verse 17 is what we need to do. Therefore, whoever knows the right thing to do and does it, for him, it is righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray. Abba, we just thank you and praise you for the word that we've heard. We thank you, Lord, that each time we come together, or each time wherever we are, when we sit and hear the word taught, when we sit and listen to the word is active, Father. The Word is alive. The Word comes to life in us. The Word challenges us. The Word helps us. The Word corrects us, directs us, protects us. And the Word, the living Word, is none other than Messiah Yeshua himself. So we thank you and we praise you for the things you are working in our lives, the things you're working in our hearts, in our homes, in our congregations. We thank you for that, Father. Just as Yaakov, James, he has to keep reminding his people to do what the Lord said to do. We just thank you, Lord, and we go to work during the week. We are reminded of what we've heard. We are reminded of the sweet fellowship, the sweet time of worship that we've had together. We're reminded, Father, that we belong to a community of believers who we can love, we can support, we can pray for, be a part of. We thank you, Father, that in this world where everything is going on around us and things are uncertain, there is a certainty in you, Father. And we thank you for the foundation of truth, the foundation, Lord, of fellowship in you, to worship you and to receive from you that we're establishing here in this congregation, Lord. And we thank you for everyone who's around us, Lord, who's a part of it. Each body, Father, there's a scripture, and I'm paraphrasing. It says if the leg hurts, well, how does that affect the head? Well, because we're connected to the same body. So we just thank you that you would knit us together, Lord, and use us together in such a way that when someone is rejoicing, we would rejoice with them. When someone is in pain, then we would be in pain with them and pray for them and do what we can to help them. And this community of believers, Father, is young, but we're moving forward in you because of you. So we thank you, we praise you for that in the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.